channel two.
Channel two over. Channel two over. And the beginning of the visit on Monday, the 30th of September, 74. Channel two over. And the beginning of the visit with Burl and Icy Cook on Monday, the 30th of September, 74. Beginning of the visit with Burl and Icy Cook on Monday, the 30th of September, 74.
More elevation than you think.
Money man is right useful around the community. Somebody with a little money.
Yeah.
We used to have people, you see, they would have money and they'd let you have money just at the regular rate. And it was a whole lot easier borrowing from them than it was borrowing from the bank. Did you ever borrow money from people, individuals?
Not much.
You went to the bank.
Yeah. But way back when I first started, I'd have to get an endorser, another reliable. Person to endorse for me on the back. See, but anymore. Last few times I borrowed money, I just went in and told them what I wanted, and they'd. Tell them what I wanted and how much. They just fill out a note, put my name on it, and go on.
Yeah. They still do it?
Yeah.
Anybody on the note?
No.
Well?
That's, you see, that's your security that you built yourself.
Yeah.
See what I mean?
Yeah. Well, you see, I could always do that up at home where I come from.
Yeah.
But down there at Florida, I never have been able to go in and borrow money. They got to have all your credentials.
Guy, one time, the Lawrence, that's the next boy to Leo, he went to Charleston after he got out of high school and got a job. Our young'uns, they were the first five of them that got out of high school, worked at Thomas Field Wholesale.
Oh?
Charleston.
Yeah.
Olita. Her mother told you last night about her going to and getting a job in Thomas Field.
Yeah.
Well, Leo, when he got out, he went to work at Thomas Field. Lawrence went to work at Thomas Field. Alberta first went to work at the 10-cent store, but she ended up working at Thomas Field. Opal ended up working at Thomas Field.
Is that
right? Five of them.
First five. What is
and Lawrence, when he was down there, what I started to tell you, he went to, he wanted him a car, a little Willie's car. Boy was losing. It was financed at the commercial credit. And the commercial credit was closing in on the boy. See?
Mm-hmm.
And he went to the commercial credit and asked them to take over the payments, you know. And the commercial credit told him, said, no, he was just a young boy, you know. No, we're not going to finance it no more. We're going to foreclose from finance. So, he called me. I said, well, I can't be down there till Saturday. I told him I'd come down Saturday and try to help him get the money to Kanawha Valley Bank. I'd been in there one time before, got some bonds cash for the oldest daughter, where she'd worked out. After she was married, she got sick, went to the hospital, and they needed the money out of the bond. She called me, and I took them down and got them cash to Kanawha Valley Bank and put them in to her credit, you see. And that's the only time I've ever been in there. Well, when I went down and went to the Kanawha Valley Bank and had to wait for it to get to the credit manager, you know. Well, when he called me, I went in and took the two boys with me, the boys that were losing the car, and my boy. And I told him, I said, now, these two boys here is in trouble. This one here's got a car, he can't pay for it, and he's losing it. My boy here is wanting to get money enough to take the car over. Free the boy of his debts, keep him from foreclosing on him. And, well, he said, wanted to know where he lived. He said, do you own your own home? I said, yes. How many rooms in your house? I said, eight. How many acres? I said, 100. How many head of stock? I had 32 head of cattle, bunch of sheep, 6-7 head of horses. Well, when I got the stock all give in, well, he said, just wait till you got an application back. Well, he said, let's start over again. He started filling an application blank out for the money. When he got it all filled out and got my rooms of my house, size of my house, and the acreage and the cattle and the sheep and the horses, all like that, well, he said, sign right here, Mr. Cook, and go over there and get your check for $648. Went in at 11:30, and everything closed at about 12:30 or 1, and I got the money and got over to Commercial Credit before they closed at 1 o'clock. And the boy, as went out of the bank, the boy that was losing the automobile, he said, Mr. Cook, he said, you must have an awful honest-looking face or got a good credit here. They know you awful well. I said, now, this is the second time I was ever in here. But the boy didn't understand that I had collateral enough for you.
Yeah.
That's what they wanted, and they got it on paper.
Yeah.
You see what I mean?
Yeah. They like an honest face, but they also like collateral, don't they?
That's right. They have to have it. If you're a stranger, you see what I mean?
Sure.
Well, I went over to Commercial Credit. I told them, I said, I want to get the, pay this finance charges off here on such and such an automobile. This
yeah.
boy here. Is loose.
Yeah.
Throwed in the $648 check, looked at it. Why, he said, Mr. Cook, he said, we'd have took care of that for you. Well, I said, you didn't. I said, my son here was in here, and you fellas turned him down, said you wasn't going to finance it no more. Now, I said, I want the papers. So he just turned around and got it.
Yeah, he didn't have much choice.
No, he didn't have any choice. He had his money, what was against it. You see what I mean?
You know.
And that boy, he made his payments there. Made these payments for me. It was in my name, but he paid her up. And he paid before he's due.
Yeah.
See?
Well, now that's
each
another
month,
thing.
Each month. Built me a record there. I expect, I don't know. I could go down there I expect I could go in there now this morning and get money. I don't know. My age might cut me out.
Have you done business there?
Well, my truck financed through there.
Yeah. Once they got a file on you, I think that's in your favor.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, they all got files now. They know everything they've done in the last.
Yeah. Whenever they get your number, they keep edging you on.
Oh, do they?
Yeah.
I didn't first time you ever told him that you wasn't going to do it, do something he told you to do, you was 27 years old.
Yes, sir.
Now, that's interesting. Everything about it.
Yes, sir. Well, you see...
What happened to him and this fellow? You never knew what happened to him. Or did you tell? Did you?
Well, know? Yes. Yes. Some way, like I told you about the side saddle, like Leo has, you know, great big skirt on him.
Oh, yeah.
That was hanging down in the barn down at the home place where I was born and raised.
Yeah.
And we didn't move it with us when we left. Didn't take it right then. Somebody cut the big skirt off of it.
Yeah.
And some way, somehow, somebody told him that Hopkins done this. Well, they fell out over that. And was it out for years.
And if they met in the road, they never wouldn't speak.
No, no, they wouldn't speak. No. And he'd ride past the door where we lived down on the creek. Close to the road, and this close to the road is from here to Leo's truck there.
Yeah.
And wouldn't speak to one another. Passed right in the road on the horses, wouldn't speak.
Yeah.
And when he come down and hollered over here, I just put the harness on my horses, and mine and one of my dad's, and went and pulled the man out. Well, that made my dad mad, you see.
Now, what was his trouble?
He had a load of feed on his wagon up here, and it was just a country road down in a deep hollow, steep bank. And the road was just wide enough for the wagon and the horses. And it was muddy, red mud, and he stuck. One of his horses throwed up, you see, on him. And he couldn't get his load of feed up the bank to get on in home down here.
Now that's been filled up, you said.
Oh yes, yes.
Since then.
Yes. It's been filled. I could go ahead and tell you how came it to be filled.
Yeah, tell me.
Well, we couldn't get nothing on a road chair, and there was a fella told this Mr. Bullard up here, Clay Bullard, that he'd get us a road upgraded and get quick gravel, river gravel on it, if we'd give him $1,000 in the campaign fund.
Mm-hmm.
That was way back into 20. Some years ago.
1950.
I expect, yes. Or maybe, it was before 50. No, it was in the 50s. It was in the 50s. Who, Leo? Yeah. Yes. Well, anyhow, this fella come to me, and he went to Mr. Hanshaw up here, and we went together, and gave him the $1,000, and got our road upgraded, and they filled that hollow up there, I'd say 12 or 15 feet of fill across. Made it, well, it's not very much of a grade there now. Which, about all the cars them days would do to travel it down in the hollow and up out.
Yeah. See, that would be something, wouldn't it?
Yeah, so now, I didn't have the money. I went to Clendenin Bank, Farmers and Citizens State Bank, borrowed my part of the money. And the way I did it, I maybe wouldn't do that today, but I told them, I said, I don't want this money now. I'm going to leave it here. I don't know who's going to pick it up. And I told the banker, cashier of the bank, what we was doing. Now, I said, this goes into the campaign fund. Somebody will pick this up. You got my note. Whoever comes in here and wants the money, why? You give it to them and I'll pay. I reckon they got the money. We got the road anyhow. So three of us fellas here on this creek bought our first road improvement in here.
Mm-hmm.
And I paid mine by little by little. We knew the note every 3 months to pay what it could on it. So that's how we got our road started on our upgrade till we could.
Now that was the first big improvement that you made on the road.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. It was. And then,
so
when that cut out the place where this neighbor that my dad was sore at had stuck, you see. No more sticking now. So, but that happened now. Like I told you last night, I so worked at it. It was just so worked. I reckon through the good Lord that was the first time that ever I told him I wouldn't do anything to my remembrance. Might have when a little fella, you know, a young and little fella will say, no, I ain't going to do it. And they'll get to.
Yeah, get
the butt smacked. And of course, they're easy conquered, you see, little fellas are. But I was setting my ways, and it was time for me to take my stand for the right. And I thought I did, and I believe that's what caused them to make friends. I believe it till I die.
Now you and that fella, what's his name?
Hopkins.
Hopkins. You all was working in the gas field.
In this oil field here.
In the oil field.
Yes, sir. And we didn't have certain buddies to work with. We help one another. Maybe I'd hook on if three or four teams in the bunch needed a pull, why maybe it would work around till I'd have to do three or four good turns that way you see a day. Maybe some other time some other fellow would have to do it. You see what I mean? Usually they tried to send two pair of horses out together in this hilly country.
Yeah. So there'd be an extra one that.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Had to help one another. And that's why I had to take my stand against my dad's orders, you see, with this fella. We'd have been sent out together, and I'd have told him I wouldn't do that. I'd have been wrong, you see. Couldn't afford it to.
Yeah, that sounds a little bit odd to see that your daddy would take exception to anything like that because he was out meeting the public so much. And anybody meets the public, they can't notice everything, can they?
Well, they shouldn't, but now, you know, some fellows are set in their ways. Maybe that's one streak that's still yet in me. Maybe I am too set in my ways yet. Maybe not necessarily.
Kind of like your daddy?
Yes, yes. That's what I say. Maybe I'm too much set in my way.
Yeah.
But I found out in life a man's got to be fun.
Yeah.
In what he believes.
Yeah.
In other words, he's got to live his own life just about anymore. Is that right or not?
Well, now you had plenty of experience in that, just driving that bus.
That's right.
You know that when we walked up there that morning to see the coal, and you just looked over there on your mailbox, and there was all them buckshot. that speaks a good deal.
That's the sixth mailbox, I believe, that I put up since while I was a driving school bus and after.
Yeah.
And tell you what, now there's very few children that I've hauled for what will meet me and shake hands with me with a smile on their face. And now one of as mischievous boys as I had, two of them. Well, I met three of them yesterday and shook hands with them over at that funeral.
Oh, really?
They shook hands with a smile. That's the first thing they mentioned. How they had carried on, misbehaved on the bus.
Yeah.
See, the point now, they've got families of their own. You see what I mean?
Sure.
They've grown up. But they still wasn't as persistent, as much set in their ways as this one particular family was. That was the instigation of shooting my mailbox.
That one family kept you putting up mailboxes?
That's right, and now their daddy's a preacher. Supposed to be.
Yeah.
He's never apologized in any way to me.
Yeah.
So I just wonder how he'll get to pass St. Peter.
Yeah. Well, they can hold a grudge a long time if they want to, can't they?
Yes. Well, now, that there is the sticking point with me. Mom, she chastises me. I believe the right word every once in a while. Mustn't hold no grudge. Mustn't hold no grudge.
Yeah.
Well, now I tell you what, it's something not to in a case of that kind. When it keeps on coming on and on,
yeah.
Like the mailbox.
Yeah.
Now this, when them shot over there that you seen on that mailbox was put there, I was in the bed and it was around 3 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah.
I got out, jumped in my bedroom slippers, in my pajamas.
Oh, you jumped out.
And I jumped in my 62. Chevrolet car, run them in the driveway over there at the home.
Yeah.
In behind the oil company's warehouse.
Yeah. So they knew that you...
I run them close race, you see. What if I could have got the license number, it went into the state police. It'd been somebody arrested.
And they knew that.
Well, that's the last time it's been shot.
Yeah.
I'll put it that way.
Yeah. How long has that been?
Oh. Time flies. That's after I recall it.
After your time.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
So they kept it up.
A So, now these boys pulled back out of the driveway and got in a different car and was down on the road here, right up this way from the foot of the hill over there, and turned back that way. They did that while I was going on up on the hill and turning and come back. To fool me. But here's, they wasn't smart enough. Why was they out at that time in the morning?
Yeah.
If they wasn't out for mischief, that didn't clear them with me.
Yeah.
See what I mean?
Yeah.
They wanted to see for sure if it was me.
Yeah.
Well, I passed by them, and of course, I was looking through both windshields, but I was supposed to. Mommy, can you hear me?
Well, you think we ought to go out and start putting up that hay?
Well,
what we ought to do is just take the tarp off.
Yes, yes, we've got to get that hay uncovered. Was lively lads on the bus. Just as friendly as they could be and just
yeah.
tickled to see me.
Yeah.
And he said, one of them said, well, he said, we were just plaguing you and aggravating you.
Yeah.
He said, we'd have went to your rescue anytime you didn't need it. And, well, this one worst one did.
Yeah. Oh, he did?
Yeah, this preacher got, he wasn't a preacher then, but he got till he wanted my bus, you see. And they was, they got a petition out against me to put me off the bus.
Because he wanted it.
Yes, they had it in for me, you see, and they got all of them but three families to sign it. Well, this mean boy that had caused me all my trouble, he just told him, he said, now, you ain't going to put him off. He said, I'll get one against him. So he stopped it.
He said what?
He stopped it. He said, you ain't going to put him off the bus. He said, you just as well to do it away with your petition, not present it to the board. If you do, I'll turn one in for you.
Yeah. I see. Is that right?
Yes, so that happened.
Yeah. Well, now that...
So you've got to... A fellow's got to respect a young man like that now as a friend.
Maybe we ought to go along with Leo and help him work out what he's working on.
Well, yes, I expect we just... with the forks, have to go up in the bottom up end and get a couple of them, though. I've got some hay down the end that we've got to kick up so we can get bales. We've got some hay down yonder.
Oh, you've got some down?
Yes, that was pretty, top of it, pretty well cured.
Yeah.
I've got to do it like you was doing this year.
Yeah.
Kick it up.
Yeah.
See? But it ain't quite dry enough yet.
No, it's
wet.
It's going to dry off a little bit.
Yeah. Dew's wet.
At least it ought to dry on top before you get
yeah,
to
yeah, that's right.
You never had much wet hay.
No. Anything we can help you do, Leo?
No, ain't nothing.
We're not doing anything.
Now, let's...
Yeah, I said, a guy can answer a couple questions for me.
Yeah.
are you? Okay, that's all I want to know. I'm going to get this business taken care of. It may take me the rest of the week, but I'm going to get it done.
That's what we come for.
I'm going to get it done.
Yeah.
It may take me all week, it may take me part of next week, but I come to get this job done, and I'm not going back up.
Well, that's what we come for.
Well, if we can get that, if I can get that hay kicked up down yonder, I'm not concerned too much about this here. Still, I do want to get down this evening if it gets dry. And I do want to get that up down yonder tomorrow, bale.
If that gets dry, that's a minor problem.
This year?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, now, it's a pretty big problem. The old for that there, I tell you what, that's...
When have you sharpened your sickle?
I've cut 170 bales. I cut down two bottoms up yonder, and there's no rocks. There's nothing to dull it, only the grass.
Well, the grass is dulling.
Well.
I felt of it, and it didn't feel too sharp to me.
Well, I expect the order to take it out and sharpen it.
Well, we'll just take it out and we'll sharpen it, and then we'll put it back in there, and then we'll cut that when it gets dry.
Well,
we won't, I noticed down there where it didn't look like it was cut too smooth.
I tell you what happened, Leo. That grass is so thick. I broke two sections, two rivers, in one side of two sections. I broke two of them. One in one side of the section, and the section's turning crossways. Now, that's how heavy that is. First four swallows went down through that.
It was heavy and wet.
No, it wasn't heavy. It wasn't wet when I was trying to cut it. But it's just heavy, hard to cut, fine. And when I cut that, I pulled the rivets out of the second time. I pulled the rivets out of the pitman.
Yeah.
And it's like, now, like you said, the sickle maybe is not just as sharp as it ought to be all the time.
Yeah.
But it's not too bad dull.
Yeah.
One thing about it, you can't keep it sharp all the time.
No, you can't.
Well, it ain't any trouble much to pull it out.
Well, no, not now. It did get...
Leo's a magician.
It did get kind of...
He can put an edge on it while we're just talking about it.
Well, no, it's not that easy.
Was your daddy, was he mechanical?
No.
In trading, he was a...
He was a trader. He wasn't a mechanic like Leo.
No. Wasn't nothing to mechanic on him.
Fixing the harness
and the old horse-drawn mowing machine.
Yeah. Road wagon.
Yeah. Sleds.
Yeah.
He could make a sled and the like of that.
Well, could he carpenter?
No. He is a horse trader, I tell you.
I haven't heard of one of his trades. I just heard one of his bad trades. The one that's where you picked up for him. You traded on some of his horses. That was one of the best ones, Leo. That's about as good as Leo can tell.
Yeah. Well, now that was a fact, and I can show you the anvil right down there.
Yeah.
And money wouldn't buy it now. That I got in the horse trade.
Yeah. Well, now let me tell you. Could you tell me that trade of yours with the fella up here who got the
radio?
No, got the one that couldn't see at night.
Oh, Oldoy.
Could you tell me that story?
Well, it's a long story.
Yeah, it's a long story.
Hey,
I'm going to tell you something. I come up from Florida down here. Now it's been about a year ago. I brought an old mare up here that was, I mean, she was a saddle mare. Frank rode her down through the bottom down yonder, man. She was just counting them all just like nobody's business.
Yeah.
Nice and tight. I need to let her go.
Yeah.
I took over here and traded her to a man for, what did I trade
her for? Well, he was right here. You traded her for the little spotted horse you took down there.
Yeah, traded that little spotted horse. And got 25.
Yeah.
Well, that picked me up. All right. But anyway, that white mare, she was about 6-7 years old, but she was a saddling trick. When the sun wasn't shining. If you let the sun come out, she'd fall over the hill.
Yeah.
She'd move right. Took her over there, turned her out, blamed she didn't fall over the hill. And he trailed her off, and the man come back on
her. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, now, that is what is wrong with this horse that you're talking about.
Yeah. Well, now, back up on it, and the thing of it was, you had been taking care of that man's horse up there so long.
Well, this man hadn't owned the horse very long. An old man Phillips over here owned old Jake. Couldn't keep shoes on him.
Yes.
He couldn't. I was the only fellow could shoe him and keep shoes on him.
Yeah.
Well, I'd have to shoe him for the old man Phillips. Well, when he traded him off to old man Hopkins, why, told him, said, now, you have to keep this horse shod. And said, Boyle Cook's the only fellow can put shoes on him and he'll stay. So,
he told him that?
Yes, and he called me to come over, and I went over to, said his horse had lost some shoes, and tender, he couldn't walk, and wanted me to come over and shoe him. I went over, I told him, I said, now, Mr. Hopkins, I said, I can't come over here and shoe this horse. It's been my time. I said, I'd have to charge you $5 coming over here and shoeing this horse and back. I said, I always said, I couldn't pay that. And somehow, him and me one bantered the trade, you know. We got into a trade, and forget I asked him either $15 or $25, I forget which. So
he'd seen this horse of yours.
I had him over there. I rode him over there.
Oh, I see. You had him right there.
Him right there on the spot. And when we got into the trade, he wanted to know about his work. I said, well, I'll just show you. And I laid an old set of tied up hay bales. Wore a harness on him. He went to hunting for his lines, and I said, well, don't need no lines. Had a patch of corn right out by the barn. It is up about so high.
Hip high.
Hardly so high. And I just plowed him out about halfway, and I said, whoa, do we? I picked my plow up, set it over in the other balk, and I knowed how to handle him, you know. I had my hand on his hip. I said, back, Dewey. Backed him out. And if, don't know whether the old fella caught it or not, but you can guide a horse's steps when you're turning him in corn balk. Did you know that?
No, sir.
Had my hand on his hip. If he got over here too close, you know, to this hill of corn here, I could just ease him over that away, you see. In other words, they'll know. They know your movements. The horse does, as well as you do. So I backed him out between them hills, and when I got him out in proper place, I said, come here, Dewey. Come back here, Hall. He just turned around and stepped over in the balk, never touched the hill of corn.
But he just followed your direction.
Well, we knowed one another. I broke him, you know. We knowed. I don't know whether he could do what I did or not, but he knowed what I was telling him to do. We understood one another. See?
Yeah.
So went back to the inn. I said, well, now, I'll take him clean through yonder if you want me to. No, he said, that's good enough. He said, a horse turning the corn walk like that and never touch a hill of corn. He said, good enough for me. So he traded with me, and when I turned him out, I done got the saddle on old Jake, and he turned old Dewey loose, and he walked out up just a little ways. And now he said, if that horse is what you say he is, he's got him a home. I just walked up, put my hand up on his hip like I do old Tom over there, you know, in passing him. I said, now, Mr. Hopkins, I wouldn't advise you to do that. I said, this horse will kick you. I said, that's one reason I'm trading him off. He got to threatening and kicking the boys when I send him out there. And I said, I can't afford that. That's one reason I'm trading him. Afraid he'd hurt some of the boys. And I said, I wouldn't advise you to do what I done here. And now I said, I won't guarantee him to be the way he is now in the morning. And I don't want you telling something happens to him, telling that I've lied to you, for I've not told you nothing. I've just showed you what I wanted you to know. I said, he's a workhorse. You can pry him anywhere. And if you know how to treat the horse, he'll do what you tell him to do. So I just showed you what I wanted you to know. I won't guarantee him to be this way in the morning. Don't want you telling over the country that I've lied to you either. But I've not told you nothing. Just showed you what I wanted you to know. But he did. He told us I'd lied, you see. So, him and old man Bobbert, well, an educated man as he was in Clay, used to be the principal of Clay County High School, was loading an old Jersey cow over there, and right in under a bridge that come down from the high school building over Clay. That was after I went to driving bus. Come down across the bridge there, and they was trying to load this cow. Didn't know enough to load her, you know. I stuck my head over. I asked for it. I stuck my head over. And I said to Mr. Bobbert, I said, Mr. Bobbert, get that tailgate and put it against that cow's heels and bump her heels, and she'll step up in that truck. Old man Hopkins just looked up. He said, what do you know about loading in a cow? He said, all you know is how to trade a blind horse off.
You asked for it, huh?
Yeah. And then, I don't know whether it was before that or afterwards, down on the street one day, he thought he'd plagued me, you know.
Yeah.
Well, he said, Cook, he said, I never thought to give you the address for to order them boots for old Jake. Said you can't keep shoes on him, you know. That is Brandon, my horse. He traded me, you know.
Yeah.
I said, well, I said, I could give you the address for the order the green goggles for old Dory to seem to eat grass with. So he just got up and went on off about his business.
You all had it back and forth.
Yeah.
Well, I don't think he had that, you know. He didn't get mad or anything.
Well, no, I don't.
No,
Hopkins, he just, well, he did think I wronged him, I think, but I didn't.
Yeah.
Long as the fellow's conscience don't condemn him, he ain't condemned, is he?
Yeah. Well, he couldn't work him.
Yes, he worked him. But what he had against him was that them eyes are coming and going, you see, with the moon.
Well, how does that work?
Well, they can see. In the dark moon, no eyes is dark. In the light moon, they can see.
Yeah.
When the moon starts going down, the eyesight goes down.
Oh.
They get till they can't see.
And they don't know it?
Yes, they know it. Horace knows it, and you know it. Yes, he kept him for a long time. He was a good horse.
Yeah.
And a young horse.
But he didn't have any trouble with him.
Oh, no.
He didn't walk off the bridge or anything like that.
No. Well, I see Leo. I'm going to go down now. I don't think he can get that sickle out.
Just go down there and help him.
I'm going to go down there, and I'll have to pick that mower up with the tractor before I can get the sickle out.
Yeah. And that tractor picks it up so easy.
Oh, I tell you what. You know, Mom. Leo, get my truck and run over and get the mail.
I'll get mine. I got to move mine.
Well, see if there are any mail. I don't know where they are or not. I'll help Mom here. Boy, to get the paper today, Clay County. Started. Guy?
Yeah?
I told this old man that I couldn't run over there and shoe that horse, keep them shoes on that horse.
And stop your work.
That's right. Couldn't do it for less than $5. Well, there's too much money for it.
Yeah, but it wasn't much for you.
Well, I was worth more at home.
Yes.
See what I mean? Leo moves, don't he?
He goes in a hurry, yes.
He moves.
If he heard our story once, that's all he wants to hear it.
Well, it's a life. He was planting corn. He was planting corn. I had poured off corn ground ahead of him, you know, got ahead of him. Leo was planting corn. He was young like. Wasn't too old. He was planting corn. Asked me and he couldn't keep up with me. Well, I had poured off the ground ahead of him and I'd come on to do something else. Left him to plant the corn. Well, he took a notion that he wanted him a cigarette. I didn't know he smoked, you see.
Yeah.
And takes off the hill down to his grandpa's, and his Aunt Bonnie smoked a cigarette. So he got him a cigarette, and he told us, said, I'm just dying for cigarettes, said I, and I've got 4 or 5 more rows of coins planted, said I want to get back there and get planted before it rains. Well, it rained, caught him before he got back.
Yeah.
And he muddied that corn in.
Oh.
Yes, he did. He painted it. But you could see wherever painter hole went down, just picked up a great big gob of mud.
Oh.
Yeah. And I didn't know he'd smoking. And then another thing I heard,
yeah.
he people liked him. This old lady Bullard up here lived right up here where Junior owns now. He'd go up there, and he depended on her to get his tobacco for him.
Oh, yeah. Oh.
And smoking unbeknownst to me.
Yeah.
But after I found that out, why, I told him, I said, now look here, I said, why didn't you tell me that you wanted to smoke and you was attached to it till you couldn't quit? And I'd have bought you tobacco. So I went and bought him tobacco from the Sergeant Dean.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yes, I did.
Yeah. Well, that's good.
We'd tuck one of Isaac's cousins in here. He didn't have no place to stay, and he'd come in barefooted in the wintertime.
Yeah.
And I hate to put this on that, but it's the truth. His feet was on the ground, and he's a young man come in here.
Yeah.
Well, I had a pair of shoes and overshoes and a pair of gum boots. And he didn't have no place to stay.
Daddy's mother been dead.
And I couldn't run him off if he was worthless, you know. So, when he had my boots on, I had to wear the shoes and overshoes. When I had the boots on, he had to wear the shoes and overshoes that winter. That's the way we went through the winter.
Yeah. You went through the winter that way?
That way, yes. Kept him here all winter.
Yeah.
And then, Swin, that winter's when he learned. Of course, I'd bought his tobacco for him. He smoked. Well, Leo learned to smoke, too. So I was responsible for Leo's tobacco that he learned to smoke on. You see the point?
Yeah.
That's why I thought it was our duty to buy his tobacco for him.
Yeah.
Good worker, good young as it was.
Oh, Leo was a good worker. He always has been.
Leo has been a good worker.
He has been a good worker.
And you see, it went through. We went through the window that way now. It wasn't nice, but we had to.
Yeah.
See what I mean?
Yeah. You just didn't go and buy a new pair of boots.
Well, we didn't have the money.
Yeah. And it didn't cost much.
No, we was that hard up.
Yeah.
Money was money, and a dime was hard to get a hold of.
Yeah.
Then I'll tell you how much this boy appreciated it.
Yeah.
One time, after that, he had went for him and some fellas had went over the hill down here. And I went down there to help him out. And I usually just say what I think and let it hurt who it will. And so what I'd said about them, they wasn't in very good shape. They had been drinking, you know, but they wouldn't have went over the hill. Well, I went down there to help them out, and this young man that I'd tucked in barefooted, naked, you might say, and kept him.
What do you call him?
Abbott, Elmer Abbott.
Elmer?
Elmer Abbott.
Elmer.
And so he got mad at me and he slipped around and he decided he'd whoop me.
Oh, he got mad at you?
Yeah.
You never know what's going to happen to you.
And he took me a lick right here by the butt of the ear. Didn't even dawdle my head. Made me mad and I just wept for him and he run. I run him down the road 100 or so yards and caught him down at the mouth of the holler. And I just turned him around and I give him a talking to.
Yeah.
I said, now look here, young man, when I caught him, got a hold of him. I said, don't you ever try to do a trick like that again. I said, you can't fight. I said, you didn't even dottle my head. I said, that'll get you hurt.
Yeah.
And I just gave him a good talking to, and I've never had much for him since.
Yeah. He just didn't pan out.
No. Well, he didn't appreciate what we'd done.
Well, he might have had to get up and with a bunch down here that was so worthless.
Went to stay down there.
Well, you know, I never have had much luck with these fellows that were sort of simple-minded.
And unstable.
Yes.
Had an old uncle by the name of Granville Jett.
We haven't got into her folks yet, have we?
No. This is the first, I think. So, he was an awful good religious old fellow. And if somebody would do something, or say something, or get kind of bewildered-like, he used his left hand. He'd give it a quick turn that way. Well, a double-minded man is, Paul said, a double-minded man was unstable in all of his dealings.
Yes. He said that?
Yes.
He'd say that?
He'd call a fellow that wasn't stable and no stability about it. Mm-hmm. He'd call him unstable in all of his dealings. Well, the Bible does say that. So, there's a whole lot to it.
Yeah. Well,
he saved us quite a bit because he was a widower. He lost his wife and stayed amongst his kids some. And he liked to stay here. And my dad and mother just lived around in the holler there, and he'd stay around there some. But he stayed here more. He got an awful lot of girls.
I'll tell you, guy, this life we're going through is more valuable than most people think. Did you know that?
Yes, yeah.
Here's the point. We don't know. Some good deed we do to some young person may live for years after we're done dead and gone.
Yeah. And we've got no way of knowing which one will do it.
No.
Yeah.
No, we don't have any way of knowing.
Yeah. Well, now you see, you all have had so many experiences out here, just one right after another. Now you've had. Did he wasn't much help to you?
Well,
in a way.
While he was here, yes.
Yeah.
While I was with him.
Yeah.
I could depend on him. He was good to help me.
Well,
until these other.
Yeah.
You know, there's always. Paul said in the Bible, when I would do good, evil's always present.
Yes. Yeah.
Too many evil fellows present, and he'd rather take after evil as to take after the good things of life.
Yeah, yeah.
If people are that way,
yeah.
They won't... They don't think of the hereafter.
Well, Well, now, what could he do? Could he plant corn like Leo?
Yes. Yes, he could plant corn. He could plow. He could hoe corn. He was a good worker.
Pretty good farmer.
Pretty good worker. That day and time.
But you had to be out there and
yes.
have something going
yes.
on,
yes.
or else he wouldn't do
right.
good.
That's right.
We didn't have to do Leo like that. That's the only time. He wasn't very far. He thought he'd get down there and get that cigarette and get back and get his work done. But
yeah.
It didn't. But no, we could always depend on him to do what we told him to do.
Yeah.
What he would have to do, he finished.
Now, if you
the other boys
we was up this morning.
He was the oldest, so you see.
Yeah.
Yeah, I have two girls between the next boy.
This morning
yeah.
we was talking about got on the subject of money.
Yeah.
Borrowing money.
Yeah.
When my mother was here, she took a bad sick spell. And there's an old man by the name of Phillips over the hill here. He was awful good to visit the sick, and he rode horseback. He rode this old Jake that I told the story about Sheridan this morning. Rode him over here. He kept coming three or four times, day or two apart. And I thought he was wanting something or another. There'd always be somebody around. My mother was bad sick, and people back them days, people would visit the sick.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he'd come, want to know how Aunt Hardy was, and talk a while. This time he meant to get his point over. He went out down there and had old Jake tied down there somewhere, and he led him out to a sled, and he done something or another to him, and he couldn't get on him. And he had one crippled leg, ankle, kind of crooked and crippled, weak. And he got old Jake disturbed, and he wouldn't stay around to the sled so he could get his foot in the stirrup and get on him.
Do you remember this?
And he hollered for me to come down, right out down yonder next to that old car. I'll never forget it. Hollered for me to come down and help him to get on old Jake. And what he wanted me down there for, he said to me after got down there and I held the horse, got him on it, the horse. He sat there, started talking. Well, he said, I've been coming over here with something in mind and I never could get a chance to tell you. He said, I don't know anything about your circumstances, money-wise. But he said, sickness, he said, sometimes runs into money. And if at any time you need any money about taking care of your mother, he said, you know where Uncle Jim lives.
Oh, I figured it'd be the other way around.
Now, that's true. As true as I'm sitting here with this coffee in my hand.
Yeah. Well, now that balances off the other, you see, about the boy who didn't turn out so well.
Oh, sure, yes. Overbalance.
Yeah.
Now that's friend. That
yeah.
was a friend in need.
Yeah.
A friend in need is a friend indeed.
And before you ever even knew him, you have to bring it up.
Voluntarily. And he come the third or fourth trip to get his point over. You see, he didn't want to. He. Now, he was a money man, and he was tight.
Yeah.
That's the way most of money men has money. They are tight enough to hold it, you
yeah.
see. I never was tight enough to do that. I always spent it quick. But now, he didn't want public to know that.
Oh, I see. He wouldn't.
It wasn't free to the country.
Yeah. Well,
so I considered that old man when he died, I'd lost a good friend.
Yeah. And what's his name?
Phillips. Old man Jim Phillips.
And he's the one. Now let me see. What connection does he have with the horse we were talking about this morning?
He owned the horse. He owns the horse. I shot him for it.
And then he passed the horse on to Russell.
No, he passed the horse on to Hopkins.
Hopkins.
And the horse went on to Hopkins after the old man Jim died.
Oh.
Old man Phillips died.
Yeah.
And then I got it come right back around to me. So that there is, I tell you, I could just sit here and talk from now till Christmas and tell you interesting things like that that's happened to us in our lifetime.
Yeah.
True facts.
Yeah. Well, now, you see, that's the thing that ought to happen to people. They ought to be connected enough, you see, that things like that happen to them. But the way it is now, you see, they spend all their time
at something else.
Sitting behind a desk. They don't see anybody. And the ones that see are just stamping the price on things.
That's right.
So?
Oh, well, I don't know. Why?
Anything we can do about it, is there?
No. People like that is few and far between nowadays.
Yeah. What was this place like when you all took it in back in 1920 when you bought it, when you come back from Ohio? Actually, was telling me a little bit about it. He said it wasn't even cleared. Just a little.
Well, this bottom here, the road came right up through this bottom.
Uh-huh.
In the wintertime, the swamp down there, horse would go in that deep.
Yeah.
You couldn't walk up through there. You had to have overshoes on, like gum boots. To get up through there.
Yeah.
And they was fenced down across there, hog pen right out there in the far side of the garden.
Okay.
And rail fence down across the bottom. On up yonder, two thirds of the way up through the bottom there, another rail fence across the bottom. And the rail fence around the foot of the hill here, walnut trees are standing along. You couldn't, just thick, young walnut trees.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, then they would have been money now if we'd let them grow, but they was in the way. They were just patches of corn down through this bottom here. From Greenway down yonder below where our line crosses now. That was with this place then when we bought it. On down below. The next farm below. 50 acres below down there.
That was part of this farm.
Yeah, yes. And they had corn in the high places where they could plow, you know. They wouldn't plow out in the wet places.
Yeah.
Wasn't drained or nothing.
And bushes.
There wasn't no meadow. There wasn't a foot of meadow on this place. The house was a board roof. And you could look up through the The ceiling was rough lumber, and the cracks, you could look up through the cracks, get to the right with the hole through the roof and see the daylight.
See the daylight. But it didn't leak.
Well, some, but not too much.
Yeah. Now you had a pin down here where he kept his jack.
This bottom here was his. He called it his jackass lot.
Yeah. Yeah. And he actually kept the jack.
Yes, he owned it. Yeah. Owned a lot of horses. Not too many cattle.
Yeah.
But that was about the only fence place he had on the place. There wasn't no place to feed.
Yeah.
He turned his cattle ranged in the woods in this wheat field hollow back here.
Yeah.
And in the woods.
Well, and just patches of corn.
Yes.
In the high places.
Yes, sir. And no meadow at all.
And no grass up there on the side
no,
of the hill?
No, that was in woodland.
Wood come almost down the fence.
Did.
Yeah. Well, you all had a right smart work to do before you even got your meadows clear.
Why, yet several years it was.
Well, I don't quite see now, how did you get the road out of your bottom here?
Well, just went to work and changed it, made it over there. Had to.
You all did?
Yes. Yes. After we took it over, we made that.
You just put the road, you just made it up there on the side and got it out of your field down there.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Went up over the bank down yonder.
Was it a big job?
Yes, pretty big job. But I got help from the railroad, from the road grader, state road grader.
Oh, did you?
Yeah. So, it's just one of these things. That, in other words, I didn't know enough to use very much psychology, like high school principal over Clay one time told us after we went driving bus. He was a fellow that he failed to control his 5-year-old boy.
Yeah, I want to hear that.
And he was out there bragging around. He always tell us that we had to use psychology on the high school students to control. And my mom don't like for to hear me say this, but I'm going to tell you just the way I said it. I didn't watch my language too good then. And I just said to him when he told us that, I said, yeah. And he went to tell him about this 5-year-old boy bluffing him. And with his O's, big words, you know. I just said, yes. I said, Mr. Smith, psychologist, hell, I said. I said, I wouldn't talk. I wouldn't try to tell a bunch of bus drivers how to control a bunch of high school students if I couldn't control a 5-year-old child.
I love to hear it.
Now, I've got a bus driver right over the way here, 4 or 5 miles, or 6 or 8 miles away, that was by and heard it. I can verify, he'll verify what I'm telling. I told Mr. Smith them words. I said, if I was in your place, I wouldn't brag, laugh, and use them big cuss words about that 5-year-old boy out me. Principal over 900 high school students and can't control a 5-year-old boy of your own, I wouldn't brag about it. I'd get back over there to that high school, try to take care of them students over there.
Well, as far as you know, did anything ever come of that? Did he take that to heart?
He took it to heart enough to move right then and go back to the high school building.
Next time he saw you, he didn't brag about his five-year-old.
Never heard no more of it.
Yes.
Never heard no more of it. He's bragging about his five-year-old boy out in him, you see.
Well, they'll do it.
If you'll let them.
Yes.
But a man is foolish. Well, that's where you start him off right. When a branch on them trees there is young and tender, you can bend it easy.
Yeah.
After it gets older,
yeah,
you can't. So if you don't bend the twig while it's young, you can't after it gets old.
Yeah.
You train a child up in the way they should go when they're young, and they'll not depart from it when they're old.
But you didn't necessarily use the psychology on your children.
Which? Just like I told him, I didn't know what psychologist was. I wasn't an educated fellow,
yeah,
like he was.
Yeah. So you just.
I just told my kids on the bus what was what, and that was it.
Yeah.
And I tried to make it stick as close as I could. Didn't always get it done.
Yeah.
Just like I wanted it.
Yeah.
But I've never run across very many of them that don't come shake hands with me,
yeah,
with a smile on their face and say they're sorry.
Yeah.
Three young men right over there yesterday told me the same.
Yeah.
Yesterday.
Well, now, somewhere along the line, I remember you said that somebody referred to you as pretty hard on filling on your butts.
I was known over the county. The tough bus driver.
Yes.
Cook.
Yes. The word got out.
To the children.
Yes.
But he didn't get fired. He retired off of it. They didn't fire him over.
Yeah.
Another thing, and then I'm going to have to go. Another thing I'll tell you about the bus. In the fall, they start off with football. Then when the weather gets bad, they go into basketball.
Yeah.
Then in the spring, when the weather breaks in the spring, they go into baseball.
Yeah.
Well, a man by the name of Proudfoot that I didn't know how I was going to get along with him, but after we had a few words just straight from the horse's mouth, well, we got along good. Patted me on the shoulder. He said, "Mr. Cook," he said, "I'm glad I'll talk to you. I'm glad you come up and talk to me this time. I think we understand one another. We'll get along."
He was principal.
Yeah, he was superintendent. County superintendent.
County superintendent.
Yes. He was the high man over the school.
Well, was Smith the...
Smith was the principal.
Yes.
Proudfoot was the superintendent. So he sent me to Montgomery with the baseball boys in the spring. And never had worse behavior on my bus from a bunch of boys. Couldn't get cooperation out of the coaches. coach just sat down and let him go.
Oh.
And coming back, coming up Canoy River between Montgomery and Gauley Bridge, and on as we come through Gauley Bridge, they'd wave at colored women. Material. So out this side of Gauley Bridge, I just stopped and told the boys and the coaches, I said, now you've got to behave yourself. You've got to quit this waving at people. I ain't going to have it. Next, when I see wave with anybody, white or black, you're going over this bus. If I have to put the coaches off, I'm in charge of this bus. You'll all be a walking or call for another bus. Well, coaches didn't like it, you know. And they quietened down some, and I got them on in. Proudfoot said to me, I suppose the coaches had told him. The next morning, he said, Cook, he said, they never asked you yesterday how you got along with the baseball boy. I said, Mr. Proudfoot, I said, I didn't get along. Why? He said, what was wrong? I said, I never saw worse behavior. I said, I was ashamed of them. Ashamed that the sign on this bus, Clay County School Bus, I was even ashamed to drive my bus along. The behavior of them ball boys, and the coaches let them go. Their behavior was so bad that I was ashamed to be driving a Clay County school bus. Why didn't you tell me this yesterday? I said, well, I thought I'd just see if you'd get the word. I said, somebody must have given you a tickle, must have complained some way about how I had to set on. Yes, but he said it didn't amount to anything. He said, I'm behind you 100%. We don't allow that. We don't want to allow that. You know what? That coach come to me and even asked me to go and apologize to Proudfoot about what I had told him about the behavior of them boys and him letting them go. I said, no, I'll never do it.
Oh, the coach was getting after you.
Wanted me to back up, you see, from what I had said. There wasn't no man, county superintendent, principal, and nobody else got me to back up when I took a stand up. To right on that school bus.
Yeah.
I was the only man responsible for them two.
Yeah.
Lies.
Yeah.
Wasn't the school board, wasn't the county superintendent, wasn't the state police.
Yeah. Well, you could tell it when something like that was going on.
Didn't misrepresent, just didn't tell her all of it.
Yeah.
See?
Well, now, I thought the coaches generally were pretty, they stood up for, made them behave.
Some of them don't care.
And still don't.
No, worse, I expect now and ever.
Yeah.
Have a night. Another time, and I'll tell you this about the county superintendent, and then I'll go.
Jonathan?
No, Brooke Smith.
Went in one morning, I was a little bit late. Well, set my students off down in front of high school, and just as I drove up on the yard, the dim sum too had missed the bus. They had to take them down to Bradley Field to the 4-H building. High school was crowded so bad back there that they didn't have room.
Oh.
And they had to send a class, two or three classes down there during the day. During the forenoon. Well, the buses would take them. Take time by taking them, students down. Well, the bus, Bradley through the bus, had been gone. And Brooks come out, and I was just getting out of my bus. Just drove up in on the lot and was getting out of it.
He said,
Mr. Curtis said that
get in number 22 bus there and go down there. There's 9 students down there
in front of the high school. I think most of them are yours. You got in late. Load them in 22 bus and take them down.
To Bradley Field. Said I think most of them's your students anyhow. Well, you're getting in late. I said, well, Mr. Smith, I said,